Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the illustrious company of Michael O'Sullivan, the author of The Leveling and co-founder of Unio Wealth Managers. Good morning, Mike.
Joe, good morning. It's a very kind introduction.
Are you in Cork, Paris, Gstaad, New York? Where are you?
I'm in Cork, Joe. Looks like a nice day today. Yeah.
Good. Any plans for the weekend, Mike?
Nothing special.
Are you taking the yacht out in Kinsale?
I don't have a yacht, Joe, I'm afraid. No, I have the kids with us this weekend, so we'll do something with them.
Good for that. Good for you. Good for them. Now, let's start with a story. Laura Slattery in the Irish Times has a story about job losses in the Irish media sector.
And Joe, I guess this is a story about how media publishing the news are evolving. So the competitor, I guess, of the Irish Times, the independent publisher Media House, are reducing their headcount in Ireland by 50 people. It seems from the article in the Times that most of those will not be compulsory redundancies. And the article paints a trend where I guess headcount in the sector is beginning to be whittled down. And I suspect what's behind this is this trend where media is beginning to change how people publish, how people broadcast. You're probably a very good example of this. The Star journalist doing doing podcasts, a greater search for truth, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And of course, the way IT platforms, and I suspect we're on the brink of this, the way AI is going to change journalism and what people consume on the web. And also, I think in Ireland, you're beginning to sense the role that smaller websites and smaller news services beginning to chip away at the market share of some of the bigger newspapers.
Yeah, it is a little bit worrying, of course, when jobs go in the media sector, because we are one of the biggest consumers of physical newspapers in Europe. A lot of our European cousins consume newspapers on their apps or on their laptops, wherever it is. But we tend to like to hold the paper for whatever reason. But demand is definitely falling off a cliff, and people consume news, as you say, so differently. And then there's the worry that people won't pay for it. People seem to have no problem paying for a physical paper, but they don't like paying for a digital paper.
It's strange. I mean, I find time to time getting a physical paper is a good old fashioned pleasure. And the news, you pick up bits of news you probably wouldn't get on a website, simply because the way algos tend to push certain things to the top of your screen. And you go into a garage and newsagent today, and a physical paper is probably cost the same as a subscription to many sites out there. So maybe there's a kind of a behavioural element in terms of how people consume their news.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the telecom sector. The regulator, Comreg, has wrapped Vodafone on the knuckles.
Joe, not great news for Vodafone. There's a couple of things in this long article worth bringing out. One in particular is that they've had their knuckles wrapped, as you said, by the regulator, because the strength of the service of the Vodafone network in the south east, Wexford, Waterford, Tipperary, Kilkenny, Carlow, has been below the required gigahertz band. And Vodafone had been reprimanded by the regulator for the quote-unquote likely harm arising from their non-compliance. Elsewhere, they've just raised prices by 5%, but they are falling down, the article highlights, they're falling down the league table, if you like, of telecom providers in Ireland, and now apparently in last place. And many of the lower cost telecom providers are beginning to pass them out in terms of the service they're being delivered relative to the price. Now, Vodafone, of course, have replied. They said they are going to upgrade the network and the quality of the network in the southeast, introduce 15 new base stations, and also will apparently invest 500 million It's not clear if this is going to be in Ireland or across Europe, to improve the quality and the associated service with the with the telecom service.
Right. Talking about quality, two very high-profile public listings over the past fortnight have been crashing and burning over the past fortnight. Trump Media and Reddit.
Joe, these are fascinating stories. And it's a sort of, for any financial historians, anyone involved in history, it's a throwback to the 1920s capitalism. Also reminds us, I think, from the union point of view, that there are still maybe these kind of illogical companies out there, or maybe the bubbles in the stock market. And the two of them are related. So the two of them are the Trump media firm. The ticker is
DJT.
DJT after the man himself. The other one is Reddit. And Reddit, most people know, is this online platform which became famous in the stock meme period just after COVID, where you had these cohorts of retail investors allegedly ganging up to push the share price of small companies higher and as they say, to the moon. So both of these companies have listed. If you take the Trump one first, it's probably a lot more suspect in terms of its underpinnings. I think its revenue is only I think it's $1 million, and the value of the company is still, I think, some $4 or $5 billion. It was worth
$4.4 billion. It's worth now
$4.4 yeah. Exactly. It was worth up to sort of $7 or $8 billion a couple of weeks ago, and this will strike many people, including ourselves at Unio, as being irrational that a company with $1 million of revenue could be worth as much. And in a way, it just captures the fervor of the Trump network in the States. And of course, it's very, very convenient for him, because it comes at a time when he needs money, both in terms of the court cases and his campaign. And it's a platform, I guess, that will help his campaign. Reddit is probably
more substantial.
More substantial, Joe, in terms of the users and the revenue base. The main way in which they monetize the platform, obviously, is advertising, and that itself is worth, into sort of $3-5 billion. But if you look at common valuation ratios, it looks very, very expensive.
Yeah. Let's move on to the ECB, and they sat on their hands yesterday, as expected. Did they give us any clear signals that they would be set to cut rates as early as June?
There was a raising of the eyebrow towards a June rate cut. And I think there's a whole range of things going on here that have made for a complicated meeting of the ECB yesterday. One in particular is that in the States, inflation looks to be very, very sticky. We had a CPI, a consumer price index reading in the middle of the week, which was stronger than expected, led to a sell-off in the U.S. stock market. The ECB is in a different position. Inflation is coming down in Europe across many subcomponents. And also, of course, Europe's biggest economy, Germany, is really suffering across a whole range of industrial sectors. So if you like, the big economies in Europe need lower rates. They probably need a lower euro as well. And this is what happened yesterday. The euro dropped because the market is beginning to price in the fact that Europe economically is weaker than the US. Inflation is quite high in the US, so the Fed will probably not make the rate cuts many people thought they would make. Whereas in Europe, I think we're now getting set up for a June rate cut. And I suspect that in coming weeks, as members of the Governing Council make public speeches, they will begin to tee markets up for that. So I think it the outlook, if you're a mortgage holder in Ireland, begins to get a little less tough, I would say.
Yeah, and especially if you have a tracker mortgage, it means if they do cut rates in June, your costs will go down immediately.
Exactly.
There are some people who said, oh, the ECB don't want to jump first because it'll affect the currency and all that kind of stuff. But the ECB's mandate is only price stability and to aim for around 2% inflation. So it shouldn't really care what happens to the currency.
It shouldn't formally care, Joe, but we're at a very curious period in central banking policy where both the ECB and the Fed have declared themselves to be, if you like, the agents of climate change, the agents of social change, and that they would use the mechanism of the central bank in different ways to try and influence policy in both of these areas. So there's a lot of mission creep. And it would be good, I think, if the ECB came back to its original mandate, which, of course, and we discussed this on the show before, they failed. Inflation took off in Europe and they stood back and looked at it and said, well, it's transitory. And we're here. And I think many people, you go down the shop and prices are still high. The rate of increase is coming off, obviously.
All right, Mike, listen, I have a lovely trip down in Cork. And are you going to take out the Aston Martin for a spin by any chance?
I think I have an old banger, Joe. It's not an Aston Martin.
Mike, have a lovely weekend. That's Michael O'Sullivan, the co-founder of Unio Wealth Managers.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.